Because for sure, the healthier your gut is, your whole body and your whole system is better. It's getting healthier. So I feel that when they will be able to find out more about the gut, we will be able to maybe treat better, even better, those autoimmune diseases.
Well, and I've learned a lot about the gut too. That's kind of been my focus of the past couple of years, of just learning more and more, just because, you know, they are cutting parts out of our stomach, they're rerouting things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it makes sense, like, why the gut is kind of like the center. Like, everyone's, you know, like, we talk about our brain and your heart, but I do feel like the gut is like just as important, because if it doesn't process right, then things are getting done that shouldn't be happening. Like,
hey, it's Mel. Before we dive in, just a quick note. This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The insights shared by our guests are not a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult with your healthcare provider before making changes to your diet, exercise, or lifestyle. Now let's get to the show.
Welcome to our Sleep Life podcast. I am your host, Mel, and I am excited today because we have an expert from Pop On, and we are going to talk a lot about resilience and what to do, because this month is lupus month. It's chronic illnesses, and I really just wanted to talk about that and how to help all of our friends and family through the community of what to do, because I know it can be so hard these times. So welcome on to the show. We got Nicolette. She is a resilience coach in health and wellness with Pop Recovery.
Hey, hi Mel. Hello everyone. How are you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm really good, and I'm so happy to be here with you guys.
Yes, I am too. I want to pick your brain. But first, I want you to tell everybody, like, you know, what do you do? How did you get here? Off air, we were talking, guys, and she is from Hungary. So there is a little backstory here. So definitely let us know, how did you become a part of this world?
Okay. Yeah, I will tell the short story, because if not, we will stay here forever. So I'm originally from Hungary. I was born in Hungary, finished med school in Hungary. But it was around 18 years ago when I moved away from Hungary. My family is there. Everybody's living there. I was living in Mexico for almost 5 years, and then in Panama City for almost 10 years. And I moved to the U.S. Now it has been 2.5 years ago. And my background is a medical background. And I'm working as a resilience coach in Pop Recovery, which means I'm checking a little bit nutrition, physical activity, sleep, emotional well-being, mindset. So everything that could help a patient or a person to be ready for a surgery, or just to manage everyday situations and be happy and resilient as much as they can.
Yes, because it is hard with the world out there, and some of us already have pre-existing conditions that definitely hinder us and make things harder. And that's definitely why I'm happy we have you. So thank you again for coming on. And she does have, like she said, a medical background. She has her MD from Hungary. So I want to give you props for that. Congratulations. That is not easy work by any means. So thank you for dedicating basically your life to helping others.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. As a kid, I always wanted to be a doctor. So I was always on track helping people in different ways. I do personal training as well. I'm working in a gym. So I'm trying to help people not just with nutrition, but real job in the gym, working out and doing exercises as well.
Well, I love that. So, well, let's get started. So, like I said, a lot of the people in the community do have some sort of autoimmune disease or have chronic illnesses. Let's start there. So if someone came to you before, say, a bariatric surgery or even plastic surgeries, because that's what POP does, what do you do? What do you do first with these kind of people?
Usually, you know, we do a background check. Okay. What kind of maybe underlying diseases you have, what kind of conditions you have. Maybe you could have some kind of genetic disorders, something what you were born with. So it's always important to check what you have inside your body and how are your conditions and how we can help. Autoimmune diseases are hard cookies because, you know, we never really know the reason. And it's usually not just one factor what causes an autoimmune disease. So it could be, sometimes it can be something at the background, which is genetics, but it's not the main reason. And it's never the main reason. It could be something you were born with, but because of exposures, environmental exposures, maybe you became sick after a few years. So it's really interesting how to treat. And I think it's not the best word to say to treat, because you never really treat an autoimmune disease. You just try to handle it in a good way, try to manage the symptoms. I don't really know about how to treat an autoimmune disease. Because, you know, you always will have flares up. You can do a lot of things, and this is a good part, that you can do a lot of things just focusing on nutrition, focusing on your physical activity, focusing on your sleep, and trying to stay strong with a healthy, I would say, immune system. But obviously for an autoimmune disease, it's not a healthy immune system, but try to stay as strong as you can.
Well, and it sounds like when we focus on, like, we're just going to break these down. We're going to focus on nutrition right now. Because what I've learned over the years is that the inflammation is what really hurts a lot of these autoimmune diseases, and really just your immune, just your immune system, period. Like, our immune system period hates being inflamed. So what are some things that people can do just right now that can help them with their immune system?
Yeah, and that's an amazing question. Maybe first we should check what exactly an autoimmune disease, what does that mean? Okay. And it's very easy to say what it means and what happens. Because what happens is that your body starts attacking your own tissues. And it can be the skin, it can be an organ, it can be the blood. So some part of your body is being attacked by your same body. So it's a really weird situation. And as you said, inflammation can be a good thing, but it has a limit, because after a certain limit, inflammation becomes chronic, as you say, and it's not good anymore. So inflammation could be a good reaction of your body. For example, after surgery, you have some kind of inflammation, which is normal. But anytime when you have a lot of inflammation going on, that will affect a lot of different cells in your body. It will affect the tissues, and then it will affect the whole organ or the whole blood. Mm-hmm. And that's what we would like to control somehow. And the why is depending on what kind of autoimmune disease you have, because you know, we can talk about maybe Crohn's disease, we can mention celiac disease, type 1 diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, and a lot of different lupus, Graves, a lot of different diseases. And somehow they have always something in common with inflammation. And the thing what we can control is what we eat. So that's the part of the nutrition, how to achieve an anti-inflammatory diet, what kind of nutrients we can focus on. And I think a lot of people knows this, and everybody tells the same always about what to eat first, what to focus on first. And it's always about protein. You will hear protein from everywhere, because that's the most important. That's,
I mean, even for me, I shouted from the rooftops, protein, 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 because it is like one of the main necessary things to have in your body. Like, it is, I didn't know about it until after surgery, guys. Like, I was not a protein lady. I mean, I love my meat, but it wasn't the way that I look at things now, because it definitely was like, oh, why does that matter? Like, who cares? And now I'm like, oh no, it's like the building blocks of our system. Good to know.
Yeah. So, and regarding protein, I think one of the most important thing to mention, obviously you need protein because that's something what gives you satiety. You will feel much better. You will feel fuller during the day. Eating protein and fiber will always help you to feel satisfied. Okay. But what you need is maintaining your muscle mass or increasing your muscle mass. And the question why for the answer would be, we would like to maintain our muscle mass because you can burn calories at rest if you have more muscles.
Correct.
Every pound of muscle mass, you can burn 6 calories just at rest when you are doing nothing. So you don't have to work out. That's something what you do when you are sleeping or just sitting in front of the computer or just reading a book. So it's really important trying to maintain that muscle mass because it will help you burn more calories. Obviously, sarcopenia is a really serious situation, which is muscle when you lose a lot of muscle mass. Okay. And that could happen as a secondary effect of autoimmune diseases as well. So we really want to focus on that protein because we want to maintain our muscle mass. We want to burn enough calories. And we just want to stay stronger. And it could be really difficult to, for example, work out and do physical activities in a few types of autoimmune diseases. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, with arthritis, it's not easy to move. With lupus, sometimes you feel so bad that you cannot really move and you cannot go to the gym. Even just right. walking or moving around hurts a lot.
Yep.
So everything is connected. It's really crazy how our body is connected. It's just, you know, when you hit your small toe on your foot and you feel it up in the head.
Oh, so yeah.
It's like everything is connected. So that's what happens with all these different kind of diseases, that everything is connected, but you will circle back everything to nutrition, what you eat. And the most what you can control, try to control with nutrition. Obviously, there are a lot of different kind of medications what you have to take, unfortunately. But I feel that focusing on big time on nutrition will help a lot. And I mentioned protein, but we can talk about all the antioxidants. You know, mm-hmm. berries are the best antioxidants. Kiwi is amazing. All the green leafy veggies, they are great because they will fight against the free radicals in your body. So they will fight against inflammation.
Well, and I was going to say, can you, I know this might be like a dumb question, but I feel like we need to understand, what is inflammation anyway? And why is it bad?
Yeah. It's a good question. I think maybe the easiest way to explain, it could happen if you have, for example, a cut on you cut yourself on your hand.
Okay.
And in a normal case, will happen nothing. You will be okay. It will heal. You will have maybe a slight scar. But in the case if you have some kind of infection, that part of your hand will be in inflammation and you will see red signs. You will see maybe some warmer temperature. You will feel warmer temperature around. You can get fever in the worst case. So inflammation could be so many different things. Yeah. But when you have inflammation chronically going on in your body, you won't have, for example, fever. Most probably you will not have fever because it's already a chronic condition, which means your body started to handle it in a way that it's not an acute inflammation. It goes into chronic, which means your body is always acting and reacting and trying to fight against that inflammation, which usually takes a lot of energy, takes a lot of calories, actually. Sometimes you just lose weight sometimes because your body is fighting so much against the inflammation that it uses a lot of energy. It uses a lot of calories from what you get from the nutrients.
Well, it makes sense why people that have this are tired.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Because like I have a few friends that like one of them has been in and out of the hospital recently because of all of her autoimmune disease. I feel so bad for Jean. Jean, I love you, girl. If you're listening, I know this is rough. We got your back, girl. Because this is something that like she's lived with for basically her whole life. She like she got lupus at like 4 years old. So yeah. I know that it exhausts them. And I just wanted to show people like their body is doing this to them and they don't want this by any means. Mm-hmm. And two, inflammation is like, it's just not good to have in your body all the time. I did look it up just so that way we can have like a good definition over off of chat. I call him my little buddy.
That's
but
great.
What he says is inflammation is your body's natural defense response to injury, infection, or irritation. It is a part of your immune system, protects and heals you. So it makes sense why we need it. Mm-hmm. But we only need it for situations, so it's not overpowering our system.
Yeah, and as you said, it's an acute response of your system, which is great. But mm-hmm. when it goes into chronic, and now I don't remember exactly how long it should last to call it as a chronic. But when it goes into the chronic state, that's not good anymore. Because that's not... It's still a fight response, but it's a longer one and it's not good for your body. And just going back to feeling tired, it's really interesting just to see how it looks, for example, for patients after procedures, any kind of surgery. It doesn't need to be plastic or bariatric. It could be any kind of surgery.
Yeah.
Your body is healing. It has inflammation, which is okay. You could have inflammation for a certain period of time, which is normal. And most of the patients, they don't do obviously a lot of exercise because they are limited,
right?
But they feel tired.
Yeah.
Because their body uses everything to recover. So you will need to eat more, even that you are not working out, but you still need those healthy nutrients.
Yes.
So it's really important to trying to give that amount of calories and nutrients what your body needs to heal or what your body needs to stay in balance as much as you can if you have an autoimmune disease, because you are never in balance when you have an autoimmune disease.
Unfortunately. Yeah. And yeah. I did look it up. It says chronic inflammation happens when your body's immune system stays turned on for a long time, even when there isn't a real injury or infection or to fight anymore. Things that can make inflammation chronic: ongoing stress, poor sleeping, smoking or vaping, excess alcohol, long-term infections, autoimmune diseases, carrying excess body fat, especially around the abdomen.
Mm-hmm.
Diets have a high and ultra-processed foods and added sugars, lack of movement, and untreated medical conditions like insulin resistance or sleep apnea. And you might feel fatigue, brain fog, joint pain, digestive issues, frequent headaches, feeling swollen, puffy, skin flare-ups, slower recovery. So it's a big deal if you have this chronic inflammation, which I know a lot of people do have.
Yeah.
And then I noticed the people that do have it too, it's hard for them to eat. They feel not hungry, you know, because they're tired, they're frustrated, they're, you know, they're not getting the things like the sleep and the stress off their body.
Yeah.
So like, how do you help those that are trying to eat but feel like they just can't get enough in?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And you were mentioning something about sleep.
Yes.
And, you know, and I always say, I feel that sleep is underrated. We have
Agreed.
To focus so much more on sleep because so many things happening while we are sleeping.
Yes.
And if you just check the hormones but being produced during your sleep, and those hormones which are really connected with appetite and weight loss, those are being produced and being controlled during your sleep. So if you don't have enough sleep, and now they usually say it should be somewhere between 7 and 9 hours of good quality sleep, if you don't have that many hours in a good quality, your hormone production, your whole hormone system won't be as good and as balanced as you should be. So when you start having your hormones all over the place, and that's what happens in a few, and I would say that most of the autoimmune diseases, that your hormones are affected in some ways. So it's really hard to fight against those hormones, because sometimes they will cause you less appetite, Maybe you won't be hungry. It could happen. And I don't know if it happened to you after bariatric surgery that you feel you taste different.
Yes.
You taste things in a different way, that you liked something before and now you hate it, or you hated something before and now you love it. So all those appetite changes, all those tasting bud changes, they could happen during autoimmune diseases because maybe of inflammation. And there are a lot of things, but we don't even know the reason why it's happening. But yeah, it could be a thing that you don't want to eat that much, you are not hungry, or absorption. Absorption can be a really difficult issue because maybe you are eating well, you have the great nutrients what you need to eat, but your digestive system is just not healthy enough to absorb those nutrients. And it's like celiac disease, Crohn's disease, and all those autoimmune diseases which are more connected to the GI system, they have these issues. They lack of vitamins, they may be lack of fibers, because they just cannot absorb what they need.
It's just so frustrating. I feel for you guys, because like that's a big deal in our world too, because being bariatric, whether you got the sleeve, the RNY, DS, and all the other ones, like we have to focus on getting those vitamins in, those supplements in, because we can't get it all through food. And so like, it's a really big deal. I actually got a message from a girl last week that said that she's happy that she went and bought ProCare. By the way, I use ProCare vitamins, OSLP for a discount. But anyways, she would message me because she was really happy that she bought them from ProCare, because they actually had the formula for her actual surgery, and she was so low on vitamin A that they were like, you might go blind. Like, they straight up told her, if you do not start actually taking your vitamins like within the next month or two, you are going to go blind, because she is one of those. And I was like that too in the beginning, where we didn't take them. We just took vitamin D and B12, and that's, they were, and like, that's fine. Or some people from Kaiser Permanente are telling people to give them Flintstone vitamins. Uh-huh. And if you're giving a DS patient Flintstone vitamins, I want to yell at you, because they are not absorbing like they should. And so, she was very thankful that we talk about this, because she understood, like, oh, I need more because of X, Y, and Z. Yeah. I need to get A in. And, you know, I've had someone on that actually had, it was the berry. Dry berry situation, to where like she almost like couldn't walk, and she was in the hospital for a long time. And it's these things are real. And that's one of the things, like, why I wanted you to come on, is to talk about through like how to be resilient during these things, because we have to do certain things to live and actually feel good. So what I do know is, like, nutrition is number one. Like, the whole, I remember my mom when I was a kid would be like, you are what you eat. So if you're just going to keep eating donuts, you're going to become a donut. And of course, we all laugh, like, I'm not going to become a donut. But then you actually realize, like, you are kind of like a donut inside. Like, you got lots of sugar, girl, going on in those blood. So it is kind of, you are what you eat. So we need to have the protein. We need to have the fiber to help, especially people that are in chronic mode of illnesses.
Mm. Yeah.
When you have someone that has Graves' disease or Crohn's disease, what kind of diet do you put them on? Is there like a certain one that really helps with people that have those items?
As I'm not working as a certified dietitian, I'm trying to give guidelines or the basic foundations of healthy nutrition, which actually it goes for everybody.
It does.
Even if you're healthy, unhealthy, we are always going back to the same, always going back to those maybe four or five principles what we have to have in mind. Yeah, already mentioned the protein. Then comes the fiber, which there is always a number for protein and for fibers and for all the different kind of nutrients, which could be a little bit personalized depending on weight and gender and stuff like that. But yeah, protein, focus on fiber, complex carbs, Because as you said, if you eat a lot of donuts, you will become a donut. And we know that a lot of sugar will cause more inflammation in your body. So if you have any kind of autoimmune diseases, if you eat more sugar, you will just cause more inflammation in your body. And that's when you flare up in your autoimmune disease. So it's really important trying to focus on the carbs, but you need to go with the complex carbs like fiber. And you need to avoid as much as you can the simple carbs. Vitamins, minerals coming from fruits and veggies as much as you can. And I have one favorite, I think all-time favorite nutrient is omega-3, healthy fatty acids. Because omega-3 helps a lot, not just with the cardiovascular system. Everybody knows that it's really good for our arteries, for our veins, for our heart. But it's really important that it has an anti-inflammatory effect as well. So omega-3 will help you reduce inflammation in your body. And it helps you reduce inflammation if it's an acute inflammation or even if it's a chronic inflammation. It's not as strong as a medication, obviously, but if you can focus on eating more omega-3, which could be nuts, seeds, different kind of seafood, fishes, salmon, avocado, olive oil, all those are amazing resources for omega-3. And if you just focus a little bit more on your omega-3 intake, you can see a lot of nice changes, maybe small changes, but your cardiovascular system will be healthier. Maybe you can control a little bit more inflammation in your body. So those are, if I have to put together some kind of nutrition plan for a person with any kind of autoimmune disease, I would say still the same basics. For example, if you have celiac disease, obviously you need to avoid gluten. So then you go, okay, avoid everything which has gluten and focus on still the basics. Back to basics again. So yeah, it's just the same. And you know, still there are a lot of researches going on. And I think one of my favorite is the gut microbiome and the gut connection to your brain, which now they are investigating and doing a lot of researches about. Yeah. So I'm really excited about that topics. And I really want to know more and check how the research is going on. Because for sure, the healthier your gut is, your whole body and your whole system is better. It's getting healthier. So I feel that when they will be able to find out more about the gut, we will be able to maybe treat better, even better, those autoimmune diseases.
Well, and I've learned a lot about the gut too. That's kind of been my focus of the past couple of years, of just learning more and more, just because, you know, they are cutting parts out of our stomach, they're rerouting things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it makes sense, like why the gut is kind of like the center. Like everyone's, you know, like we talk about our brain and your heart, but I do feel like the gut is like just as important, because if it doesn't process right, then things are getting done that shouldn't be happening. Like my mom actually told me to start talking about this, because she is a CNA. She's a hospice nurse. She's been doing this for a very long time, but she also was taking ibuprofen. So we are told as bariatric patients to not take ibuprofen anymore. And this is key, because my mom is not even a bariatric patient, but they told her about this 5 years ago. And she never stopped taking ibuprofen. And guess what, guys? It actually does stuff to you. They are not joking.
Yeah.
Because she ended up having little baby ulcers in her stomach, which then led to her feeling like shit and puking a lot and not feeling good. And so with that, she became severely dehydrated. And when she became severely dehydrated, now her kidney function was like, whoa. Like I would say like 20%. They thought that maybe she had kidney stones. They were trying to figure out what's going on. So you guys all saw me at the retreat, at Dr. Novick's retreat in Florida. And I was like smiling, but back in my brain, my mom was admitted to the hospital for 3 days because of what was happening. And she even went into AFib a couple times because of this.
Wow.
And there's a couple things. One, shouldn't have been taking ibuprofen. Two, not being hydrated enough caused this. And then three, she actually was taking too much, which I didn't even think was possible, but it is. With now I know how much my mom was taking. She was taking way too much of B12. She was taking 10,000 units a day. That is holy moly. That's so much. They told her to stop taking her ginseng because that was too high. And then her vitamin C levels were insane. Wow. Because she takes a multi plus she takes another side one. So my mom is one of those, which I know people listen are these people too, of like they have a multi, like a one a day, and then they're still taking all the others. So I am learning, guys. It's very important to one, listen to your doctor. If they say not to take something, there is a real reason. And two, you have to stay hydrated. If she would have at least stayed hydrated, then a lot of the other things wouldn't have happened. But because she wasn't, and she thought somehow 30 ounces was fine a day. And I was like, whoa, mom, no. Like, they're like, they told her 80 ounces, girlfriend. And that's what they told her in the ER. But then her primary care was like, it's fine. Just drink 60. And I'm like, no, you have her on the ball for 80. Do not take it down. Because like me and my brothers were like, oh, we don't care what primary care says. It's 80. It's 80 ounces. And I told mom, I was like, even I shoot for 80 to 90 ounces a day of water. So it's like, there's no difference. Yeah. Like we need the water. And it's just like, it plays a big part of getting these toxins out of your body, helping you with inflammation. And what's funny enough, she's taking the ibuprofen to lower inflammation, but that did not work. So
it's not,
you know, it's just interesting what people do, not thinking that they're hurting themselves. So guys, vitamins are very important. Just don't overdo it.
Yeah, just don't over it and drink a lot of water. And you know, it's funny about the 80 ounces because, the general recommendation is somewhere between 60 to 64. But if you tell that to somebody, they will not reach the 60, 64. So my trick is always, okay, I'm telling more than what the general guideline is, because in that case, maybe they will get to the general numbers.
Right.
So I will always say, I would always say more.
It's better than saying less. And you know what? I did that in high school, like all my grade school. Like that's how I shot. I was like, I'm going to shoot for the A, but I'll settle for the B, man. It's totally fine. Do I really want the A? But if I don't and I get a B, I'm not going to be mad at myself. So like I do that with everything. I'm like, we'll go to the sky's the limit, but we'll settle somewhere in the middle. And I love that you're doing that with patients because it's real. I've watched it. Now tomorrow is actually my 11-year surgeriversary. So crazy.
Wow. And congratulations.
Thank you. And
impressive.
You have to follow these things. I'm like, you're a proponent of follow the stuff. Because I even regained 50 pounds a few years ago, and 50 pounds is a lot. And that took a lot of work to get it back off. And again, I wasn't hydrating. I wasn't sleeping right. I wasn't moving my body. I was eating simple carbs, not complex carbs. So it's like you really do have to just go back to the basics and use the tools that you have around you.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I feel that we always want to overcomplicate things.
Yes.
But just let's go back to the basics. And then when you do the basics well, everything is, your checklist is done. Then you can complicate a little bit more, but without having the basics, please don't overcomplicate. Just go back to the normal stuff where everything started with healthy nutrition. And then you can, and especially, for example, with autoimmune diseases, for those who have the disease like since 4 years old, the girl you mentioned, obviously she now knows her body.
Yes, very well.
She knows what she needs. But this was years when she realized, okay, I don't need these, but I need the other one. This is okay if I do. This one is not okay to do. So it's something what you will realize what you really need according to your body. Because we can say a few things about, okay, how to treat, how to handle those diseases, but everybody could be a little bit different. So you really have to get to know your body and listen to your body, what it tells you. And that's what I say always with resilience coaching and mindset coaching, that I can tell you a few things you need to focus on, but you have to check what your body is telling you and trying to personalize it according to that, and try to find your modifications, what you need in those situations.
Yeah. And I would say to add on to that is also, like, let's not have your parents, or especially when you're older, like, tell you what to eat and not eat. You're like, no, I know my body. I know what it needs. Especially some of the girls that I've mentioned, like, they know their body very well. Like, you know, it is trial and error. As like, once you get your diagnosis, one, almost everybody I've met felt so relieved and validated, because a lot of the times they feel crazy because they have all this, like, I can't move, things are swelling, I feel like I'm in pain all the time, but they're not diagnosed for years sometimes. And it's so wild. And so no one knows what to do exactly. And then once they're diagnosed, they're like, all right, we have a game plan. Now you can, like, really listen and tune into your body. So I'm very big at, like, think about, like, how you feel after you eat something. Because I think we got this, and correct me if I'm wrong, like, maybe in the 90s and the early 2000s, we didn't do that at all. And we would assume, and we would not assume what we ate today, say at, like, noon, is actually giving us an effect by 3. But it is. Like, people would be like, well, what have you eaten? It couldn't be what you just had. It's probably something before that or yesterday. And it's like, nah, girl, like, that's already out. Like, because I remember my family would tell me, like, you know, steak will stay in your stomach for, like, months. And you're like, what? That's weird. Like, or gum. Remember, like, don't swallow gum. Like, it's going to stay stuck in there. Yeah. And it's just all this wildness. But, like, we have to remind, and this is why I have you here, just reminders, guys. Like, legit, what you eat does affect you, and it does affect pretty fast. Just think about when you drink alcohol, right? It doesn't, it takes about 20, 30 minutes, but it affects you. Same thing with water, same thing with protein. It's just different. You just have to listen and figure out what works, because, like, I didn't like you said, taste buds change, right? So I used to hate cottage cheese. And I, not that I love it, but I know how to work with it now. And I do love it because it has so much protein in it. And now I have an immersion blender and I'm blending shit with it because, like, it is such an easy way of getting protein in. And really, cottage cheese just takes on the flavor of whatever you're cooking it with. So it's not that big of a deal. But I didn't learn that either until, like, a couple years ago. So you have to really be okay with, like, learning new things and changing your diet. And I hate using the word diet too, because it has such
I hate it too. Yeah, that's not a good word.
This is just it's just the way we eat. We need to make up a name and just hold it tight, because it's literally everybody has to eat a little different for their body. And don't care if Heather or Joe Smo is like, well, I can eat hamburgers, why can't you? And it's like, well, all of us, like, we all have different bodies. Like,
that's true.
Some of us are gluten intolerant, right? They can't have the bun. Some of us can't have that greasiness from the hamburger. Or sometimes it just doesn't agree with us so much that we're like, halt, we're not doing that anymore. And just be open about it, guys. It's okay to say no to foods from people. I know that we've been taught from a young age, a lot of us have, like, don't say no, that's inappropriate, that's not okay. But it's like, just say no, thank you.
That's, exactly. Just say it in the right way.
100%. And so I wanted to touch base about fruit, because we hit it just a second. Like, you want us to have our fruits and vegetables as much as we can. So can you tell us, and I've had other dietitians tell me this as well, but, like, fruits will not hurt you. They're not going to hurt you.
I love that topic. And it's hard to talk about it because, you know, there are so many different opinions about fruits and sugar and the sugar in fruits. And it's interesting because I have been reading different things about, okay, fruits. And you still have simple sugar, simple carbs in your fruits. But you have your vitamins and minerals next to it. So if you want to choose between some kind of fruit and some sugary stuff, obviously you will need to choose the fruit because you will have those extra vitamins and minerals. It depends on if that person is losing weight or maintaining or maybe gaining, want to gain some weight. Depending on that situation, how much fruits or what kind of fruits you should focus on maybe a little bit better. And I think that's like a general, kind of like a general information that all the berry groups, raspberries, strawberry, blueberries, they are lower in sugar. So I used to study this, and I don't know if it's still correct or not, but I remember a few years ago, they always said that if you want to have some kind of fruits during the evening hours, they should be only berries because they are lower in sugar. So your body digests them better. It's easier and it's better for the evening or for the night. And if you would like to have some different kind of fruits, maybe you should eat them in the morning. Okay. And there was another thing I remember so much. I don't know if it's still true or not. They used to say that try to focus on just one type of fruit at a time. Because different fruits have different kind of sugars in them. And sometimes if you have like a fruit salad with a lot of different kind of stuff in it, it even spikes more your blood sugar. So it's better to focus on one fruit at a time. And when you do, for example, like a fruit juice or a fruit smoothie, try to have one fruit. If it's berries, that's okay. Because, you know, berries can come in a mix and it's still good. But for example, if you want to have a banana in your smoothie, have a banana and put some kind of veggie to it. Don't add maybe a mango or a pineapple or whatever. Try to have one fruit plus some kind of veggies in your smoothies. If you really need to focus on that blood sugar, if you really want to focus on simple carbs. So I think those are small things which could be important, but still it's much more important to have a good amount of vitamins and minerals from your fruits. And, you know, that is just a certain amount of fruits what we can eat. Avoid juices, like even fresh juices sometimes could be too much, you know, like fresh squeezed orange juice. If you drink like a big glass of it, that could have a lot of sugar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which could be okay sometimes, but it could be not okay as well. So that's a tricky thing about the fruits and the, mainly the fruits, but I would still say that it's important. You just have to learn what types of fruits and what part of the day to eat them. Yeah.
No, and I like the fact that you went through the berries because, like, that has been my saving grace sometimes to eating something different. So, like, example last night, people that know me know I live, unfortunately, three houses down from a 7-Eleven, and I really wanted a Hershey bars last night. I was like, it's cold. I didn't want to get up out of my bed and like go get it because it was too cold. And I was like, oh, but I really want it. And I literally fought with myself for a good 20 minutes of like, do you go? Do you not go? You could have already been back by now if you would have already left. Like, that's what's happening to my head. And I was like, fuck it. I got strawberries in my fridge. So I just had three strawberries, rinsed them off real quick. And then I ate those and had water. And then I went to bed like an hour and a half later and it went away. It was just like, obviously I needed something that was wanting, but I like the fact that when you talked about it, it's like, yeah, you're getting sugar, but you're also getting minerals and nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
those Facebook forums are a little scary sometimes because they're just like, don't eat the fruit. That's how you're gaining weight. Stop eating an apple a day. This is why it's a problem. No bananas every day. I've seen so many random things that they've said, but it's like, I find it so much better just because you're pairing it with its minerals and nutrients.
Yeah. And the fibers. I didn't even mention the fibers, but you have like for a pear from the fruits, I think pear is the one which is the highest in fiber. So yeah, it's great. You just have to find not overeating yourself. from things. And that's always about the control, and not just with fruits, with everything. You have to control. It's like healthy fats. You don't eat like a whole bag of peanuts because that's not good either.
No.
It's just too much. So you always have to figure it out how to have that control and how you do your portions. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and for those that are with chronic illnesses, it sounds like the berries are really good for them because it has those antioxidants in them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. Yeah. Yeah. So, and as you said, you don't like diet. I never say diet. I always say nutrition or trying to figure out something different to call. It's not a diet, because when you do a diet, it means you are restricting yourself from something, which could be the situation that you are maybe eating less from something. But when you listen to that word diet, it means that, okay, now I have to stop everything and I have to do different things. And I already know that I cannot do it. Yeah. When you hear that word, you already know, oh no, I'm not able to do it because it's a diet. But if you change the name and you say, okay, let's focus on healthy nutrition and then a balanced nutrition focusing on whole foods.
Yeah,
that's a different thing.
It is. Yeah. It really is. And it's a big deal because we need to stay away from the word diet because our brains do that immediately. It's like, nope, can't do it. Diets suck. They're horrible.
Yeah.
I'm restricting everything because like a lot of us are yo-yo dieters. Like that's how we got into this situation, is just like one, not understanding what nutrition really is, because they don't actually teach you the real stuff in school by any means, which really sucks because like, your parents should teach you. But some of these parents are having to work several different jobs just to keep the lights on and food on the table. So it's like, school is there for a reason, and that should be one of them. Like, I'm a big advocate of like, we need this information in schools because I feel like I was set up to fail. And I know a lot of us feel that way because it's like, well, why didn't you teach us this? Some of us like love school and we would have been so much better knowing certain things, right?
That's right.
It's so frustrating, but it's good to know that like, you know, there is people like you out there that are helping people. There's places like POP that you can go to. POP Recovery, guys, if you don't know what it is, where have you been? I pretty much have them on every month as much as I can because they do lots of different stuff for you. Like once you sign up with them, you can have Nicolette as your resilience or mindset coach. Like you get coaches because you need coaches. Like I use an example all the time. They're probably annoyed with it, but it's the football one. It's like, hey, or any sport that you play, whatever player, whatever position you're in, they all have several different coaches. Like, and then outside of that, they have different coaches too, because they have like their personal trainers, they have their doctors that they see, they have a conditioning coach. Like, we need them just as much as anybody else does. We shouldn't think that we're beneath that. So it's like, no, go to these places that have help. Because I know when I sign up for POP, like I got the mental health, I got nutrition, and I got the actual like movement person. So it was like you, and they talk to you every month. So it's like you're never not thinking about it because they're there every day of every month to help you. So one, go over to POP, make sure that you're following them. They have a free community, one-on-ones. And they literally, you can ask any question, they will help you. Like that's what's really cool. And you're one of their coaches. How long have you been coaching for them?
I started, when was that? December 2024.
Oh, yay. Congratulations.
Yeah. So it has been a while now, and I love it. I love everybody, you know, everybody is different. Everybody is preparing for different kind of surgeries. Everybody comes from a different background, with different conditions. So I never have the same conversation with the patients because it's every time is so different. And as you said, as we are working as coaches, we see them once a month or twice a month, depending on how much they need. You can see how they are changing. And it's amazing to see, especially like bariatric patients, the knowledge and the information what they have after weeks and months about nutrition. They maybe start from zero, and now I have a few, and they are like, oh my God, you just know so much about yourself and about your nutrition. And that's a process.
It is.
You will not change things. And this is, I think, one of the most important things I wanted to add, that you will not change your nutrition from one day to another one. You have to be consistent with your changes, and you won't be perfect. And you don't need to start as a perfect, with a perfect nutrition. You just have to start somewhere. And every day getting a little bit better. And just focus on one thing. You cannot focus on everything. You cannot focus on protein, fiber, water, exercise at the same time. Just be consistent and be patient to yourself, because that's how you will progress. And it takes time. It's the same thing, you gained weight through years.
Right.
And that's the same how you can get back to a healthy nutrition. Mm-hmm. It takes time.
Well, and that's the deal, is we got to be patient with ourselves. Mm-hmm. And what is cool is that we are getting to know ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, we're learning with you guys. We're realizing like, oh, I didn't need to eat these things. Oh, I like these things now. Like, I love avocado and I love my fruits and veggies. And like, you know, you just don't know until that door is open for you. Because some of us, you know, had like the set same things that we ate every single day. And now it's like you're an adult and you're like, what do I do?
Yeah.
I guess there's a Taco Bell. I guess there's McDonald's, you know, like, and a lot of us did that in our early 20s because we didn't have that when we were growing up. So we're like, ooh, let's have all the things. And then you realize, oh, shit, our body cannot handle all the things.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah.
You know,
and it's trying hard, but it's not as strong sometimes. And it tells you when it's hurting, it will tell you for sure. Right? You just have to understand those signs. Yeah.
Well, and not ignoring them, because I know I ignored a lot of signs.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah,
I will be very honest. Like, I've ignored lots of things when I was younger, and just because I wasn't sure. And I was like, well, it's fine. That was my thing. It's fine. It's fine. No, it's not fine. You should not have these random pains, by the way. You shouldn't feel exhausted going up the stairs. There's reasons these things are happening, and we need to get checked and be careful. So, and I like the fact also that you're saying like, hey, like you can't do it all at once. Like, because this is a community that likes to try to do things all at once. We like an all or nothing situation. So it is very hard for us to play in the gray, but we need to, because like what I've learned over these 10 to 11 years is like nutrition's number one. Like, you actually will lose more with nutrition and maintain better with just nutrition. You don't even have to do the other things, really. You got to have this on point. So as much as you can slowly get it on point, just do that.
Do that for a while.
You know, just like if it takes 3 months to get to your protein goal, who cares? At least you got there. Mm-hmm. And now you know how to maintain it. Like, that's the deal. It's like, don't be too hard on yourself. So
Well, give yourself some grace.
Yes.
I cannot say it enough.
grace, 100%. Yeah. Well, is there anything left that you would like to add before we go?
I think there are so many other things to talk about, but trying to focus on your nutrition, be very, very patient with yourself. Try to realize even those small wins what you have during the journey, because that's power. That's your power. And that's the power that will help you take the next step. And I always tell to my patients that write your small wins down. Write everything down, because you will not remember everything. And when you have a bad moment, just have your paper or your notes and read through, or have your phone, open the notes and just go through them. And that's the proof how strong you are. And that's the proof how you got here where you are at in the moment. And everybody will have a bad day. That's normal. That's very normal. Great, actually. It's good to have bad days, because then you can really enjoy those good days. And just be very patient with yourself. Give yourself some grace, and just one small step at a time.
Yeah, I love it, Nicola. Thank you so much.
I think that's the most important.
You're not wrong. I agree with all of that, because like, I've had to learn how to be patient with myself. And it's really helped me be even patient with others. Like learning how to do it myself and then now giving it to others is a big deal. And grace is still hard for me. I have very high expectations to myself. And sometimes when I don't meet, I'm very mean. And I have to learn how to chill that out. So I'm still learning how to give myself grace. But patience is the least one. So I'm working on grace now. And you see how that works. I can do all of it. It's just like one at a time, guys.
One at a time.
It's very normal. So before we go, you know the rule, like drink your water, get your protein in, get movement, sleep, therapy. And lastly, number six of the pillars is those freaking vitamins. I will not stress any more than that. You have to get those in. Code OSLP will make sure they have everything that you can think of. So if you need it, it's there. And lastly, guys, don't be an asshole to one another. Have a great week.
Thank you, guys. See you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning into Our Sleep Life podcast. If you found this episode helpful, make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone that needs it. Remember, small, consistent steps create lasting change. I'll see you on the next episode.